The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
Yeah, man, dude broke his own score yesterday.
Over
$130,000 in a single game.
How do you break your own? You break your score?
Oh, he broke the previous high score. He had like $100,000 or something in one game, and last night he had over $130,000.
I was ready to watch it, and then I fell asleep, and then it was gone. I couldn't. So how is this guy doing it? Does he just get every question?
Yeah, he answered 40 questions last night.
So he's quick on the trigger,
and he 40 of them correct.
Out of how many?
40. He was 100%. Didn't miss a single question.
And if he gets a daily double, he rolls?
Yeah, I think he bet like he bets like weird random numbers. He like last night one was like, I'll bet $16,472.
Is this guy on the spectrum?
Well, yeah, probably. For sure.
He's got some kind of talent.
He's a sports bettor, and they were asking it like Alex during the, you know,
I mean, what the hell's Alex going to do? He's got a savant.
During the Get to Know You segment, he was asking about the sports betting thing and like whether or not the bookies in Vegas knew him. And he was like, yeah, they know me.
So you think he could light a sports book up?
That's what he does. He's a professional sports bettor.
But they can choose not to take his bets, right? I wonder how he does that, how you get around all that. I guess with online gambling stuff, they wouldn't really.
Well, that's what a sports book does is they try and set a line to where they make the money, to where that's even bets on both sides of a.
Would you like to be one of these people that can even just to be able to have regular success against the line?
Yeah. I mean, you got to be obviously good with numbers. You got to be on the spectrum somewhere, man. So it's this dude on Jeopardy, man. James Holzhauer is his name. He's just killing it. Yeah, last night he topped his own single game winnings mark with $131,127.
So yeah,
it's his 10th victory in a row. He's now won $697,787, over $500,000 in his 10-day run. And is already second on the show's all-time regular play winnings list behind only the great
Ken
Jennings. Ken Jennings won $2.5 million during a 74-game winning streak in 2004.
If this guy has a 74-game winning or 74-game winning streak, though, I think he'll obliterate.
Oh, yeah. Ken's well, record. I mean, he's already a fourth of the way there in 10 days. So at this rate, he would pass up Ken Jennings in, I guess he's a fifth of the way there, a little over a fifth of the way there. So he would, he would pass him up in 50 days, 40 more games. Now, it's weird. I mean, it's luck of the draw. It's like who gets on your game. I didn't watch Tuesday, but apparently he was way behind. And then he nailed a couple and got a huge daily double and smoked the field. So, like, if you get,
he could get got.
Yeah, I mean, if you get a smart contestant in there or two smart contestants and it's spread out a little bit, then, yeah, depending on who gets the daily doubles and what happens in Final Jeopardy, I mean, there's a bit of a crapshoot element to it, but dude's unreal, man. He's a machine. He is a machine. I was looking this up. Like, evidently, I don't think until like maybe 20 years ago, there was like a 5-win limit. You could only win 5 games in a row, and then they were
so that was going to be my next question. Yeah. So there's no limit now?
There's no limit. No limit, soldier. Ken Jennings.
What if this guy just keeps balling?
He could win forever. He's like the universe.
Would Alex bring in like Ken, like some big guns? Could they do that?
What happens if like he's just winning, and this is what he does? He's the guy who wins Jeopardy now.
Every night? And that's just his deal?
And eventually he gets like a serious illness. He gets cancer or something. Do they have to like... Does he have to relinquish his belt? Is it like UFC where you can't?
You're the only one that's macabre, whatever that word is. You know,
macabre
enough to even ponder this scenario, Russ.
What happens if you die Jeopardy champion? It's probably going to happen eventually. What happens if Alex? I mean, Alex is not in good health. He's dealing with cancer right now.
I hate it when you do this.
We all die, Bear. I mean, it's going to happen to you. It's going to happen to me. It's okay.
Who wants to sit around and talk about it, though?
We're not talking about it. You're the one who's fixated on it. I'm just bringing up a what-if scenario.
Let's see, it's okay. A happy, joyful, funny conversation, contemplating your own mortality here.
Yeah, we're all going to be worm food eventually, man. It goes by in a blink of an eye. Did you see the black hole? Did it not make you ponder the abyss?
No, it really didn't. I thought it looked pretty cool.
I was a little disappointed.
And what?
How are you disappointed?
The picture of the black hole.
It was it was much ado about nothing. It looked like something.
It was like there was
eating that like gazillion mile ring of.
It was like
there was
It's like there was a orange ring of light, really far away, and somebody just quickly took a picture of it. It was real blurry.
It was kind of like the Bigfoot picture, man.
Very disappointing.
I mean, let's be honest. That could be anything, and they're just telling us that, and we're like, okay, yeah, it's the black hole.
Could be.
I mean, what did we expect it to look like? Something we had just never seen before.
So we're in full-on, like, the wall mode now.
What?
What are you talking about? How would we know? If it was just some made-up picture?
How would we know?
How would you know anything? I don't know.
How do you know that we actually landed on the moon and it wasn't faked?
You believe in aliens?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah.
Really?
The universe is way too big.
But, I mean, do you think, like, they've been here before and abducted people and stuff? They've landed on Earth?
Like, you don't believe, like probing?
Probing.
Yeah, no.
You think they probe people? Do you believe in Area 51 that there's UFOs out there?
No,
there's something out there.
Where they did like highly experimental, like cutting edge aircraft research.
Yeah. So there's like just, you know, an aircraft that doesn't run on any sort of fuel. It could just like zip up in the air from New Mexico, land on the White House lawn in like 20 minutes. I don't even know, 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's more like ramjet and like...
It's alien technology.
No, it's more like the...
You think the military uses it?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the documentary Unacknowledged?
No, what is that? What's Unacknowledged?
Oh, it's about aliens. It's on Netflix. It's very thorough.
Yeah, had you convinced? It's one of those. It's so thorough. You leave there thinking, oh, he makes a lot of good points.
Yeah, you should watch it. It's on. Go home.
What's
watch
it called?
Unacknowledged.
Unacknowledged. Okay,
I'll do that if you watch Get Him to the Greek.
Okay.
Holzhauer is on pace to surpass Jennings in just 36 games. Now owns the most prolific single-day performances ever on the show. Like the other people that are playing against him, they're just like, wow. They're like applauding him. It's like, it must be like going one-on-one with Jordan.
God, imagine how screwed you'd feel. Make it on the Jeopardy, the main thing, and you're just cannon fodder for this guy.
So last night, You know how I like to do the Eddie Vedder in person. Everybody likes to sing like Eddie Vedder. Yeah. There was a music category last night, and the clue was like, is Pearl Jam. They read, you know, lyrics from the song Better Man, and so the dude and he climbed, and I'm saying to my wife as the clue is being read, he should say the answer like Eddie Vedder, and he goes, "What is Better Man?" It was a surreal moment. I felt like I mind melded with James, the Jeopardy That's guy.
Kind of scary.
Can't find a better man. So how you doing? We good?
Great.
Looks like Des Oliver is staying. It's good news, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Since he's one of the – isn't he one of the he's one of the lead recruiters for a lot of the 2020 kids.
Yep. Yep. And you keep continuity on the staff.
It would have been cool to be able to say that all three of Barnes' assistants from his first staff when he got here are now head coaches. That would have been pretty cool. And I wonder, for him, the speculation was he was going to have to take a pay cut to take the Kennesaw State job. It went to who got that job? It was
some assistant from Georgia.
When somebody off Crean's staff did?
Yeah, I cannot remember his name.
Get
up real quick.
So it would have been cool to be able to say that. It's good to have him back. Now, we had just kind of thought that Schwartz was going to be the last man standing, Mike Schwartz, and that he was going to be elevated to the right-hand man job that was vacated by Rob Lanier, who I understand I did not get to hear, but was on It's Optional about an hour or so ago. If you want to go back in the podcast archive at Fan Run and listen to that, I understand it was a great interview. But with Des Oliver being on staff longer, albeit by only 1 year longer, does he get that associate head coaching role that Rob Lanier had? So Rick Barnes has some decisions to make there regarding his staff. Grant Williams is doing his draft workouts. You've got some updates on where he might fall in the draft. And interesting thought, the Bone scenario with Jordan Bone and, you know, Rick Barnes looking at what he does if both leave, if one leaves, if both come back, you know, what do you do? How do you manage your scholarship distribution with the grad transfers, players who might be able to reclassify, things like that? How do you manage that if you're Rick Barnes?
Do you encourage somebody to maybe?
That's what people want. It doesn't sound like that's what he's going
to
do.
I'm not talking about cutthroat.
Monday,
I expect him to sit down. If he knows somebody's never going to see the floor here.
Well, Monday he said that he doesn't expect there to be any attrition aside from the two guys who might go pro early. And you can say, oh, well, he's just saying that. Yeah, but he also said that the only reason he's here is because UCLA wouldn't pay his buyout. So if he's willing to be truthful about that, why would you expect him to be lying about his roster? But an interesting thought, particularly on the Bone thing and how it might be holding up Tennessee's recruitment of other players. A lot to get to here this afternoon. It is The Drive. It is Fan Run Radio. It is Fox Sports Knoxville. We're back with more right after this.
The Drive.
Back here on The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show, 546-8200. If you want to jump in here, would love to hear from you. Beautiful Thursday afternoon in East Tennessee. Get things rolling. So the Ringer has a draft guide out to the top 30 prospects in the NBA draft, the upcoming NBA draft. Kevin O'Connor has his top. So it's the top 30 prospects, right? Regardless of position, it's not a mock draft. It's not saying, you know, Zion Williamson is the number one overall player, therefore he's going to go number one overall, even though he probably will. It's just saying he's the best player. Grant Williams is rated the 12th overall best prospect in the draft, according to Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer.
I mean, he probably is.
Whether he'll number 12? I thought that was a little high. based on everything we've seen so far. Like, I thought, oh, yeah, you make the argument like top 30, maybe even top 25, maybe top 20, push it. Number 12, that kind of blew me away.
Where would you have ranked him going into the tournament? Yeah, no, like, I'm just – where would you rank him out of, you know, the top 25 basketball players in college basketball?
I was just – you know, based on – no, not even close. Like, based on – oh, who played in college basketball. Because this is a different conversation. Best college basketball player versus best NBA draft prospect.
I can see where you might think that was a little bit high at 12, but he's got no – I mean, the intangible stuff, he's gotten spades, though. He's going to come in. He's going to be – if you do take a chance on him, he's going to come in. He's a mature kid, or he's a – you know, he's fully mature. He's not going to do anything dumb. He's going to be a pro. He's going to work hard.
Well, if
he develops a three-point shot, he deserves to be in the NBA.
If that's the way NBA scouts view it, that he's one of the top, that he's a lottery pick.
Would that put him into the lottery picks?
Yeah.
I don't really understand the NBA draft that much.
that would be, to me, yeah, he's gone. He's gone, man. If like, he is like, legitimately.
What's 12th pick get paid? Like, what's their draft money?
I mean,
a lottery pick.
I don't know. Rick, is it?
Is there a range?
It's a 5-year contract, right?
Or I think 4 with an option on the 5th.
4 with an option on the 5th. And
it's all 4 guaranteed? Or your money's guaranteed? They get big contracts?
Yeah, it's the National Basketball Association. You're going to be a millionaire. It's going to be good.
Well, I mean, it's not like it used to be in the NFL. That's what I'm saying. They completely changed how they do the money for the draft.
Well, it's the bottom line is if you're a lottery pick, you go. You don't come back. Like, you're not going to be more of a lottery pick. You either are or you aren't. And so
this guy, is this the first guy that's had him in the lottery?
I mean, we've seen a couple of drafts that have him pretty high up there. But
most of the ones I've seen have him around, what, like 20th?
Yeah, you know, going late. There was one that had him going to the Spurs, which would have been
ideal. That's what I think is going to be his best bet. Wouldn't you? Would be with him, it's going to be more about fit. Like, if he could last till later on in the first round and maybe get picked up by, like, a Spurs or
– well, that's one way of looking
Golden
at
State
it. Is,
or, yeah, you like, want, a really good team. But,
okay, yeah, I mean, you want to go to a good team, you know, because it's a good team and you get to win and you're presumably playing with other good players who can show you the way and a good coaching staff and everything. But a good team, they don't need you as much. You're going to be buried on the bench. Maybe you don't get the opportunities you would on a team that's struggling a little bit. That has an opportunity for you to learn on the job, get out there and play. And again, at the end of the day, I don't know. You can't get inside Grant Williams' head, obviously, but my guess is he wants to go as high as he possibly can to make as much money as he possibly can.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously you want to go as high as possible and try to prove yourself that you are one of the best players in the draft, one of the best college players in the country.
So, Grant Williams getting high accolades already as we head towards the NBA draft. Meanwhile, for Jordan Bone, and continue, I've yet to see any mock draft that has him being drafted
in any round.
In any round, the second round or the first. And
what is he doing, Russ? I mean,
I think just gut feeling based on reading the tea leaves. I don't know this for sure because I don't know him. I don't know his family or anything like that. But it sounds to me like he's got people around him who want to see him go. And I don't know if they're telling him, dude, you're going to make it. Like, you're awesome. You're going to get drafted. Or if they're just telling him, look, man, you might not get drafted, but you can still go play in Spain and make $600,000 next year versus playing at Tennessee and making nothing. So it sounds like he is dedicated to being in the draft. Now consider this. There is part of the way they redid the draft entry rules and the you can sign with an agent and all this stuff. If he doesn't get drafted at all, when is the draft? Mid-June?
Yeah, but you have to – Oh, okay. Like if he stays in past the May cutoff.
If he stays in past the May cutoff and does not get drafted, he can come back to school.
As long as he's not taking.
I don't know if he has to pay it back or he can take money or if he can sign it. I'm not sure. But he can come back to school if he doesn't get drafted. Now, if
I'll gladly take him back.
Well, but if you're Rick Barnes, how do you play that? If May 29th comes and he says, I'm staying in, at that point.
Oh, and we can get the is it Blackwell or Black, the kid? Black,
you, anybody.
Blackshear.
Blackshear, Jalen Cohn, another grad transfer. You can fill that spot. If you're Rick Barnes, do you wait on the draft? Especially if you don't think he's going to get drafted.
I don't know. Because what if he just up and decides, you're going to wait and wait and wait. And what if he's like, you know what? Playing basketball in Italy or Switzerland or at least, he's going to get paid. I mean, there's definitely a draw. I'm not saying he'll get paid like NBA money, but he can have he'll have a very lucrative career playing in Europe. Well, I mean, don't you think? I mean, Chris Lofton, there are tons of Tennessee players all over.
Yeah, over I think he could. And if that's what he wants to do, like, I don't know. That might be what I would want to do if I were in his shoes. But, I'm looking at it from Tennessee's perspective and Rick Barnes and what Tennessee needs to do to make the Vols better next year. Obviously, you look at all the players, and even with Blackshear, okay, Kerry Blackshear Jr. is a 6'10" post player from Virginia Tech. He's a grad transfer, averaged about 14 points, 6 rebounds a game for a team that went to the Elite Eight this year, or Sweet 16, whatever. They had a deep run in the NCAA tournament this year.
Really nice player.
You'd rather have Bone. You'd rather have Bone back for one more year. You would rather have maybe the best point guard in the SEC. I mean, that's not even up for debate, right?
No.
Right?
Yeah, right.
No, I'd rather have Bone. Yeah.
So, but
do you think that he can develop, if he comes back, that it's going, could he develop into, in your mind, a draft pick?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look at the stat jump he had this year from last year. He went up from, I think it's like 6 points a game to like 14 points a game, like 3 assists to like 5 assists per game. I mean, he became a different player this year. It's very similar to the jump we saw from Josh Richardson a couple of years ago. And you saw what happened when Josh Richardson came back for his senior year. Yeah, I think if he
comes more polished.
Especially if Grant leaves, man. Like if Grant leaves and Bone comes back, like
he's gonna be
I think he could be like a, up near a 20-point a game guy, depending if Barnes takes the reins off a little bit and turns him loose. I think he could be a dominant player next year if he continues to put in the work and everything like that. But again, you come back to, hey, you've only got, as an elite athlete, particularly a guy like that who relies on speed and athleticism.
Oh yeah, he's got a window.
You've got what? He's 20, 21 years old. You've got, if everything goes right and you don't have injuries, 14 years, probably you're looking about 10 years to make money playing basketball. Why would you waste one of those years playing for free? Like, I totally get that, man. It would not begrudge him at all if he leaves and doesn't get drafted. He's still making 6 figures playing in Europe next year. Like, that's, hey, man, can't argue with that.
I'd like to see him come back because I think he could develop. And yeah, I may be wrong. NBA level player, and I'd like to see him.
And if
I'd
he
like
comes,
to see him play in the NBA.
If he comes back and does average it, 18 points a game for the Vols next year, and is the best player on the team,
between 5 and 7 assists, and
he probably does get drafted.
And just kills people from the 3.
But that's got to be a tough, stressful situation. You know, we talked so much this week about Rick Barnes and the stress he had to go through and deciding whether or not to take the UCLA job or stay at Tennessee. Imagine, put yourself in the shoes of these kids, man. They're deciding whether or not to.
They aren't picking between million-dollar offers like the coaches do.
Yeah. Is it worth the gamble coming back playing for free to try and get into the NBA, even though that's not guaranteed? Or should I just go pro now and risk being lost in Europe and never getting my shot at the NBA. For every C.J. Watson or, you know, whoever, a guy who goes to Europe and then, boom, has a long NBA career, there's dozens, hundreds, you know, players that they go over there and they play a lot and make a lot of money, but they never get their shot in the NBA. Quick timeout. It is The Drive here on Fox Sports Knoxville. It's Fan Run Radio, 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show with us this afternoon, 546-8200. Stay with us. We're back with more right after this.
The Drive.
The Drive's podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group today at 865-566-0800. Applying for disability can be very tedious. Having an experienced attorney on your side makes it easy. Call Disability Advantage Group, 865-566-0800, or visit online at dag-us.com.
So I didn't even know this was a thing, but Bobby Petrino will not be joining Mizzou's staff as quarterback's coach.
I didn't even know he was interviewing.
Neither did I. This is according to at Football Scoop.
I thought Dooley was a quarterback's coach.
Yeah. How is that going to work?
Could you imagine
Petrino working under Dooley? Oh, my God. That would be weird.
Because you know Dooley's going to treat him like he's an underling, because that's just how he rolls.
Well, and you know, Petrino is going to have his eyes out for the job. He doesn't want to just coach quarterbacks, man. He wants to be a play caller.
Yeah, he still wants to see the table in the SEC. What an idiot. He wants in the game.
No doubt.
God, what a wild. I hate that it's been shot down. I imagine, do you think it's because he didn't want to take any instructions from Dulander?
I have no idea. I just saw the tweet. He will not take that job. Bobby Petrino's only 58 years old. Guy can coach some offense, man.
Yeah, you give me the Chaney any day. I'd rather have him than Petrino. Petrino's a dirtbag.
Who's the better offensive play caller?
Depends, because Petrino I put over there with like Gus Malzahn. If they have an explosive, dynamic playmaker at quarterback, you can't stop their offense. If they don't have one of the three most elite athletes at quarterback, you get what you got last year with Petrino when he got fired.
I don't know, man. He put up some pretty prolific offenses his first go-around at Louisville, and it wasn't exactly a who's who. And, I mean, at Arkansas,
they didn't have – athletic quarterbacks at Arkansas. They
never had a great quarterback. Yeah. I mean, I'll never forget Thanksgiving of 2000, I want to say 7 or 8. I went to this game with my in-laws to see LSU play Arkansas in Little Rock.
Have a good time.
Yeah, I mean, it was a wild game, man. It was cold and rainy and wet and miserable. And I sat there and watched. I was just enjoying a good game. I sat there and watched, and this is, Les Miles, when he had LSU rolling, dominant defense. John Chavis was there, I believe. And I sat there and watched Bobby Petrino absolutely carve them up with Nathan Dick at quarterback. Not Casey Dick, who was okay. Nathan Dick, the younger of the two Dick brothers, just destroyed LSU, and they won that game. And I want to say Arkansas won like seven games that year. I think that might have been Petrino's first year there. They didn't have McFadden or any of those guys.
I mean, part of me, it's just he's one of the all-out spread guys. I'm just anti-spread.
Petrino?
He's a spread guy.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is.
Well, he throws it around a lot, but he's not like Mike
more
Leach.
Fun and gun?
I mean, they generally have pretty good runners in some of those games.
I don't like Petrino. Scumbag.
I mean, gather it. Yeah, I mean, he's – that's – you know, you get the offensive development, the play calling and everything. But you also have to realize that he's not a very good human being.
Not at all.
Do you think he – where does he – what's his next move, man? Probably going to have to go the assistant route again. I mean, his name is Mud in the NFL. He probably can't go back there.
He couldn't get an interview in the NFL.
So he – somebody will hire him as an offensive coordinator, I think, here. Maybe not this year. He might have to take a year off, but I think
– Do you think the powers that be in the league office ixnayed it? Put the kibosh on it, as they say in the business?
Perhaps. It's very possible. Golly, man, he got fired. They were 2-8, 0-7 in the ACC when he got fired. How does the bottom fall out that badly? I mean,
Lamar Jackson wins the Heisman Trophy and gets drafted by the Ravens in the first round.
Yeah, but he had all he did is win 8 or 9 games everywhere in his career before that. His last 2 years at Arkansas, he was 10-3 in the Sugar Bowl in 2010, and then 11-2 in 2011, and then it blew up that offseason. 8-4 at Western Kentucky, 9-4 Louisville, 8-5, 9-4, 8-5, 2-8. Like, it just totally blew up on him that last year. Guy can coach, man. Guy can coach. Would you hire him to run your offense, Brandon, if you needed an OC? There was a time when a lot of people wanted him as head coach here. Ah, yeah, I know he's damaged goods, but the guy can coach, man. He went 11-2 at Arkansas. Hire him. And 11-2 at Arkansas in 2011, think about what the SEC West was at that time. Think about how good the SEC was. Was that the Cam Newton year, or was that 2010?
2010 was Cam Newton.
So, that was, you know, Auburn fell apart that year, but it was still Alabama, LSU on a major role.
Was that the year that they played twice, 2011?
Think it was.
Oh, LSU and Alabama?
Yeah.
I think it was.
That's what led us to the 4-game playoff, wasn't it?
I mean, it's pretty darn impressive. I mean, that might – we look back on it and say, well, that was the high watermark of Bobby Petrino's career. And who knows what would have happened, man, if he just hadn't gotten on that stupid motorcycle with the chick on his back. He might still be there, man. He might have
– Do you believe the conspiracy theory that – her fiance or husband beat the crap out of him?
It's a good conspiracy theory.
And was trying to had caught them on the motorcycle.
It's a good story. I don't know. Is there any physical evidence to back that up?
I don't know, man. It looks like he had a belt sander taken to his face.
I mean, it was road rash, right? Like it's not like that's.
Could you imagine being somebody
force?
And you find out your wife's catting around with Bobby Petrino? You got to be getting a baseball bat at that point.
It's pretty humiliating.
Yeah, you'd have to beat him with a baseball bat to regain your manhood. But I don't know.
I thought you were going to say, do you believe in the conspiracy theory where she was, you know, giving him the business. Robert Kraft treatment and like he got lost in concentration
on him? I've never heard that one. I imagine that would
you never
be
heard that?
No, I swear.
Really? That was like the first thing I thought when I heard that, you know, they crashed with her on the back.
I can think of nothing more dangerous to be engaged in while riding a motorcycle. Quite frankly. He came out in that neck brace with the sand belted look to his face and that Sugar Bowl hat. That was beautiful.
I mean, just think about...
I'm sorry.
How quickly do you think it dawned on him? Because remember, that press conference, he lied about it, right?
Yeah.
He wasn't saying he's sorry then. He was just like, you know, I had a wreck. I'm okay, though. Like, everything's okay. Like, we had no idea that she was even on the motorcycle.
Right.
Like, that's why he got fired, was for lying to the AD about it.
I think that's what.
But that was like a couple of days later.
A lot of these big-time jobs, especially in SEC school, because he lied to Jeff Long. It was Jeff Long, wasn't it? Who's at Oklahoma? Is it Oklahoma now?
Do you, but I mean, just bad decision, man. Never should have gotten on that
bike. Bad decision.
A series of bad decisions.
It's a series of catastrophic failures in judgment.
He's not the first man.
No, he's not.
Do you think that was Robert Kraft's first trip to the rub and tug?
Hell no. Tiger Woods, I'd love to see the list of the people that are bigger than him.
Tiger Woods didn't get caught the first time he cheated.
I'm telling you, though, but he did. It was on Thanksgiving weekend that year when Elon tried to bury a 5-iron in his head.
Wasn't the first time.
Fiery Swede.
Wasn't the first time that he had strayed. Monica Lewinsky wasn't the first woman that Bill Clinton.
Big dog.
Went chasing after.
Hound. Known hound.
But if these guys, man, they just make one better decision. And granted, I'm not saying that they shouldn't be exposed for cheating and lying and all that stuff, but they could have kept their nice thing going. Like, they would have saved themselves a lot of trouble.
What about the Right Reverend? Freezes. Used a company phone to arrange a call girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what got him fired.
And they say the ladies, they're undefeated.
They've never given up a first down.
Unscored upon.
Take it to the bank. I don't care who you are.
Well, that's not true. That's not true. I mean,
it's Alabama, no, Russell. It's Alabama.
We just played. No. We listed five or six people. Hundreds of guys out there. Hundreds of guys doing it the right way. Doing it the right way. Don't have to worry about getting caught because they ain't doing nothing.
Or they just haven't been caught yet.
Yeah. They're a little bit smarter about it. They didn't get on that motorcycle. They didn't let Monica come back into the Oval Office. They didn't use their university-issued cell phone to holler at a call girl while on a recruiting trip up in Detroit. They're a little bit more secretive about it, a little bit more discreet, if you will.
Kind of difference between Tom Herman and Zach, what's his name?
You think Jerry Jones is just walking up to some strip mall?
No, but have you seen those pictures of him? There's pictures of him out doing.
Okay, maybe that's a bad example. Bad example.
I mean, they're carrying him.
You think Arthur Blank is walking into Highway Sun Massage in Western Plaza Shopping Center in broad daylight? No, man. He ain't doing that. You know why? Because he's running Home Depot and the Atlanta Falcons. He's trying to maintain an empire. That's how you maintain an empire. Robert Kraft, what are you doing, man? You flew too close to the sun. You don't think anybody's going to recognize you? You've only won 6 Super Bowls. You get a lot of TV coverage, man. We know who you are. It's at 6, right? Is he up to 7 now? Or 8 or 9 or 10?
I think it's 6.
Oh, man.
Who's that? Sorry.
Robert Kraft.
Quick timeout. The Drive continues. Fox Sports Knoxville's Fan Run Radio. Stay with us.
The Drive.
Jerry Stackhouse blazing trails out there. New Vanderbilt head coach hiring Nikki Gross, previously the only female assistant in the NBA G League, to his Vanderbilt men's staff. Kind of interesting. No? All right.
So he's adding a woman
yeah.
to his...
Whoa. What do you mean? Like, what do you mean?
I didn't know. I'm just surprised. It's just surprising.
It is a little bit surprising. Is this the first? It's probably the first female coaching men's basketball in the SEC that I can think of.
For sure, Russ. Nobody ever coached men's basketball. No female did in the SEC before this.
Not that I can think of. So they have coached together twice. Apparently, she was on the Grizzlies staff as well. And then on the Toronto Raptors G League team. So she knows him.
Good for her.
And, you know, this is something we talked about the whole Lady Vols thing and can you hire a man to Lady Vols. And I saw this, not a lot, but there were like one or two people who responded to me on Twitter basically saying, well, because I was like, you hire the best coach, right, regardless of sex. You discriminate on competency and nothing else.
Yeah.
And a couple of people, and I believe this is kind of what Muffet McGraw said, is, well, there aren't any women coaching in the men's game, so you have to hire a woman, like, for equality's sake. And, well, okay, now you have women coaching on the men's side. And granted, it's only one, but that's fine. Like, I think that'll be a good thing. It certainly doesn't hurt. I don't see any player that Jerry Stackhouse is going to be recruiting saying, I don't want to go be coached by a woman. Do you?
No. I do think there's a I mean, I know some individuals that will make light of this.
Yeah, there's like old people. I mean, let's like nobody under
old
the
dudes.
No, yeah, I mean, kids who just want to go play. They want to go play basketball for Jerry Stackhouse, go to school at Vanderbilt, play in the SEC, all those things. I don't see it being in any way a negative. Like some people might look at it as a positive. Oh, that's cool. You know, she's good. Like, this is a guy who is comfortable in his own skin. He's going to hire coaches that he thinks know basketball. And I'll tell you what else, man. I'll tell you what else. It's going to be an interesting dynamic on the recruiting trail.
Who is this again?
Name is Nikki Gross. It's going to be an interesting dynamic on the recruiting trail. I'll bet you there are some mothers.
Apparently, according to communique I just received, Rick Pitino hired a female.
Oh, I bet he did. I'm sorry. That was a terrible thing for me to say. That was a terrible assumption. That was a terrible assumption. What are you doing, Russell? Sure, Rick Pitino's a lecherous human being, but it's kind of sexist of you to just assume that the only reason he hired her was because he was a dirty old man. Can't do that, Russell. What are you doing? Unprofessional. Unbecoming.
Can't believe you, man.
But I do think that they're – you remember when Philip Fulmer, like maybe 15 years ago, had an opening on his recruiting on his coaching staff. And he wasn't going to fill it immediately, and it was during recruiting season. And they had this lady over there at the time named Judy Jackson, who – this is back when I was in school over there. And she was like – I think she was like on the academic side of things, but a lot of the players viewed her as like this surrogate mother figure over there. She's an older woman and like had – you know, just warm relationships and stuff. And Fulmer, when he had this staff opening, put Judy Jackson on the recruiting trail and took her with him on several recruiting visits in home. And like the players that they were recruiting raved about it. And Fulmer said, you know, look, she helped us sign several high profile recruits.
Who was the the lady, I was late that day, so I didn't actually get to interview her. You and Chance did. From Last Chance U.
Brittany, something with a K.
But see, Jerry's hiring this.
She's a coach. This is a coach.
This is a floor coach.
Which is fine. I mean, Becky Hammond has obviously been instrumental to the Spurs' success. I mean, you talk about a franchise that has enjoyed immense success in basketball. And obviously Greg Popovich thinks she can coach. And there's a lot of people think that eventually she'll get in a shot NBA head coaching. Boy, you seen the ratings for the NBA playoffs?
No.
Not good. People not watching? Way down. Way down from what it has been.
It's not a good brand of basketball. It's really not.
Nothing's changed from my perspective from last year, and the ratings have been very good for the past 10 years or so. But there is one notable absence.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time LeBron since, James. I think, 04, 05 or something that LeBron has not been in the playoffs. I mean,
it's his own damn fault. He's destroyed my team.
Can you chalk it all up to that, though?
I wish they'd trade his ass.
I was watching the Celtics last night. I don't think any of those teams are any good. Celtics and the Pacers. Celtics are kind of a one-man team.
Yeah, I haven't watched enough to even give you a
– Milwaukee's fun, man. That's a bandwagon I could see hopping on here as we
Milwaukee?
Move along. Yeah.
The Bucks?
Yeah. It's a good team, man.
They're the number one seed in the East, Bear. In case
really?
You didn't know. Yeah.
No, I didn't because it's still April and I haven't started watching NBA yet.
That's a good thing you don't host a sports radio show or anything. That would be pretty embarrassing. Stay with us. The drive continues. Top four at four. Coming up.
Can you believe it? 2019.